Blog Talk Radio.
I was a hard drinking sinner with blood on my hands. I was a hard drinking sinner, a gun in my hands, drinking 40 pounds for dinner till I met a big man. And the man said, how do we do?
Day to be freaky, because he wants to be freaky on Tuesday. Nobody, you know. Wednesday, Thursday,
Wednesday, hump day.
Yeah, that's true.
Wednesday,
I guess the
totally
freaks would
cool.
come out. I guess the freaks would come out on hump day.
Yep.
Big time.
Every time.
Oh yeah.
Mostly on Monday.
All right, so yes, mostly on Mondays because honestly, there's too delirious from the weekend. So they just can't think straight.
True that.
That's how I am. Monday morning's not so much. So how was your day?
My day has been hectic as always. I have four youngins here with me through the day, and three of them are mine, so most people are like, what are you doing with all them kids? Are them yours? I'm like, three of them are.
Are them kids yours? Them youngins?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been told before that it's like, do you know they make stuff for that? I was like, oh, that was low.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You got a wild, you have like a wild bunch of kids?
No, I've got three boys. They're good
kids.
Oh,
yeah, okay.
They
check out their mama. Yeah, all right. It's hard to say three boys, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, okay. I know.
I've heard about my girls, so.
My two nephews, I mean, they're, I love them to death, but damn. They're they're a little rambunctious.
I've heard about girls, too.
Yeah, I've heard girls get into trouble when they're in their teens. So, you know, I have that to look forward to.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with my daughter.
You got two.
She'll come home wearing, all
you.
White and, like, black mascara and eyeliner. She'll dye her black and write poems about death
and, they'd be like,
and stuff.
Yeah, they're like, what?
And she's a vampire.
What's your dad do? They should be like, what do you do? I'd be like, rub my eyes in the back of your head and be like,
man,
there's nothing like freaking
know.
Out kids like that. Or you could be like my dad. My dad always told each one of my boyfriends, because I grew up on a farm. He's like, hey, you know, I've got the stuff out there to castrate you, so keep your hands to yourself.
Yeah, that's a good line right there. I like that.
That's one of our country ones.
Well, plus you got a whole bunch of land, so you know, they'll probably never find the bodies, you know.
True.
If you're in a farm and stuff. I think we might have our guest on the line. So let me
see.
Kick butt. Gets a kick ass.
Okay.
Hey, Dennis, what's up, man? Not Dennis, Jake.
Stupid.
Yeah, hey,
Jake.
How you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Man, I had a total brain fart in there. How are you doing, man?
How you, Jake?
I'm doing good. Hey, Holly, how are you?
Good.
So I'm doing great. I'm doing just fine. We were discussing our Monday. So, how was your Monday?
Cool. I just hung around the house, played video games, I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not too much.
Are you a gamer?
Mondays are lazy days. What's that?
You got to recover from the weekend, right?
Yes.
Did you party too hard, Jake? You know what it is? You're just partying too hard this weekend. You need to recover from it.
Yeah. Well, I'd say I'm just tired.
I knew it. I know how you roll, man. Don't. I know what's up. So.
Nah. I just been hanging out around the house doing different oddball stuff.
Okay. That's cool. So where are you from, man?
I'm from the southern part of West Virginia.
Oh, really? How do you like it living in West Virginia?
I currently live in Virginia now, but we lived in West Virginia up until the past few years, and I loved it.
Okay, so how do you like living in Virginia? What part of Virginia are you in?
Well, it's awesome. Virginia is a beautiful state. I love it.
Well, we appreciate that. What part of Virginia
are
you
from? Just don't come to my side, Jake.
What's that?
I said you don't want to come to my side, though. The further you get over it, we're all fenced in after you get so far over in Virginia.
You start sounding like me when you get over here, Jake.
You're
influencing me too much.
That's exactly what it is.
You should get some good bourbon from Kentucky.
Yeah, I heard they got some good stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know,
wait
Kentucky
little,
was
wait
once
until
part
I'm
of Virginia.
Older, though, and then I'll, what's that?
I say Kentucky was once part of Virginia. Shit.
Yep.
Well, I've got something better, okay, guys?
Yeah.
Like, we've got the wood booger over here in my side of the woods. Thank you.
Yeah, the what? The wood booger, that's right.
We got the wood booger.
Yeah, that's
Jake,
what is that, the redneck, is that the redneck Bigfoot or something?
Yeah, apparently.
The Bigfoot that picks his nose.
Jake's laughing.
Well, at least he doesn't.
He knows.
He doesn't,
I know why he's laughing. What was that, Jake?
You going
at
to
least
see
he
a
doesn't
Bigfoot
fling
with his nose? Do what?
At least he doesn't fling his boogers.
Oh, you don't know? Shit, he probably flings them at people, and they're too embarrassed to report back. They get hit by a Bigfoot booger.
That's funny. So, Jake, for all our listeners out there, we are very interested in knowing what sparked your interest in the paranormal.
Well, when I was young, about the age of 5 and 6, I started having some experiences, hearing voices in rooms where there was nobody around, seeing shadows, hearing footsteps, all kinds of different stuff, even knocks. And I just had questions. And from about then until now, I've been looking for answers.
That's awesome. So, a big question for, you going through these experiences at that age, how did your parents react to this?
Well, my parents, they were interested, definitely, because my family is no stranger to the paranormal, and so we all looked for answers.
So it must have been great having a support system like that, and so you knew that you could talk to your parents, and they wouldn't look at you like you have two heads or something. You know, that's very cool.
Yes, it is so wonderful knowing that at least one person won't call you crazy.
Yeah. Cause a lot of people, they don't have that, and they live with it, and they can't, they don't have their support system, and they kind of keep it to themselves, and it just gets worse and worse as time goes by.
And then my grandfathers, on both the sides, they're both preachers, and they're like, Jake, it's all demons. Don't do it. And I'm like,
it's good having a protection.
No. Huh?
Well, the best thing you can do, in my opinion, because I know what you're going through as far as that goes, is to respect their beliefs or whatever, but behind their back be like, okay, no, I don't believe that. Because, you got to respect your elders, right, and those grandparents.
Yes.
But, there is a lot of people like you that can't even turn back to their Christian communities because they don't want to have nothing to do with it. That don't exist.
And then sometimes people are just really too scared to even acknowledge it, and they'll just leave it alone.
Yeah.
And over time, more and more stuff will happen, and they'll just continue to deny it until it gets to the point where it's undeniable, and then they're stuck looking for someone.
Well, the cool part is we are
able
to think for ourselves, and we can form our own opinion. We can take our family's advice and, take it into consideration. But in the end, nobody can really tell us what to believe.
We have to find it out for ourselves.
Exactly. Go ahead.
I have had some experiences, and I have seen some things that people be like, what are you smoking?
I'm with you, Jake.
Yeah,
I said the same thing,
except
I said, I've seen some freaky stuff, and if, regular people saw this stuff that didn't know what was going on, they'd be in the psych ward right now. Can you go into details about, if you're comfortable with it, about some of the experiences and things that you've seen?
Well, one of my first real dramatic experiences was we live in Augusta County now, and we live in this old farmhouse. And when we were, by about the first year we were here, I woke up for 6 straight days with 3 claw marks on my left leg, and on the 6th day, it was bleeding and burning. And I would wake up, and I showed it to my dad and my brothers, and within a few hours, they'd be gone. No trace of them.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And
no explanation?
Second real,
do you think?
Huh?
No explanation? I mean, do you have any, I mean, do you have any idea what it was?
Still to this day, I'm not 100% sure what it was. And one of my other experiences that really got me looking was I was upstairs in my room because I have one of those little mini hoop goals, and I was just shooting on it. And all of a sudden,
uh-huh.
out of this cabinet where I keep my clothes, a toy car just shot out about 3 feet and hit my bed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did that happen in the same place?
After that,
or was it a different house?
Both of those occurrences happened in the same exact room.
Wow. How far apart were these experiences?
I'd
like,
say a few
wise?
Months. Few months.
And nothing else happened after that?
Well, stuff happens here all the time. It's just mm-hmm. only certain events that really stick in your mind. Like, it's not strange for me to have an experience maybe once every 2 days. It's not strange for me.
Well, but then you guess you just get used to
what?
It. You just get used to it after a while.
Yeah. Like, I'm to the point now to where if I see, like, a shadow person, I'm like, hey, what's up? Or if I hear a little voice, I'm like, hello? And I'll just pull out my recorder. But there are some things that still happen now that gets me on edge and makes me stay up all night.
So, have you ever worked with other people, or I know you said you've been searching for answers, and, I think that's most of us, even, you know, us adults, but to see it through a child's eyes, you know, it's nice for you to be on the show and talk about your experiences, because I know there's some kids your age listening, and they're going through some of the same things, and to have somebody that they can relate to on their level, because I know a lot of kids won't talk about their experiences. And then there's a lot of kids that can't talk about it because of their parents are not very open about it. But, you know, you're one of the lucky ones for sure to have great parents to support you. And, I mean, that's the best thing you could have, and help them helping you search for answers as well.
And Ryan, back to what you were saying, have I worked with anyone? I have worked with a few people off and on. I've had the great honor of working with Black Raven Paranormal and Marty Seibel, and they are just an awesome
okay.
group. And they've helped me a lot.
That's awesome.
I just wanted to let people
know. It makes a difference when you have,
open.
Like,
Yes, it really does make a difference. It doesn't make you think to yourself, because I know a lot of people, especially teens, they start having these strange experiences, and they have no one to turn to. And they're sitting there like, okay, am I going crazy? What's wrong with me? What can I do to fix this? And they go on worrying, and they never stop because this stuff keeps happening. And sometimes they look for answers, and sometimes they don't. They just continue running around like a chicken with its head cut off, looking, well, what? How am I going crazy? What do I do? Who do I tell? And I'm lucky to have a lot of people to turn to.
I agree with you fully on that. And I know we talked the other night a little bit, and I said, give your parents big hugs for me, because I try not to go into full details and get a lot of information, because I was, you know, want our listeners to get all this information, because it's very useful for really anybody. It's great to hear your story and what you go through, and not only should you be grateful for your parents, but for the people that you have helped you, you know, and that surround you and are there for you to answer them questions.
Mm-hmm. And another thing, it's not just this house that I experience. I usually have paranormal experiences almost everywhere I go. I've come to the point where I'm thinking it's not the houses. Because every house we've lived in, something has happened. And
well,
we have,
okay,
where my grandparents live.
Yeah. Well, as a paranormal investigator, you know, going into some of these places, we deal a lot with the kids. And usually, you know, during paranormal investigations, you ask questions, and that's how you get a lot of your answers is through questions. And what you're saying now is some of them questions that I really, it puts you in the category of that, you know. Well, it's obvious that, you know, everywhere you go, you're, you know, you're having experiences. So what does that tell you? You've been having them since you're 5 years old. So to me, it tells me a lot.
And there is one of the places that still sticks in my mind, and I still have interesting experiences. Where my grandparents live, there's this house in the street, and it's old. And me and my friend, we went in there during an open house. We snuck in. And it was just supposedly some murders had happened, but it's never been confirmed. And my friend opened this closet door, and we just saw this big shadow person just standing there and then just darted out towards us.
I have a question, Jake.
All right.
Well, it's not for me. It's for Michelle. She works with me. She's a physical medium, and she was wanting to know if you knew the history of the home that you currently live in.
Well, the history of the home, was built in the 1880s sometime. I can't remember the exact date. But the guy who built it owned a bunch of chalk mines over in Virginia. And that's about all we really know about the home. I don't know too much about it.
Wow.
Because I do like to look for historical information, and I just can't seem to find it.
Yeah, well, you know what? Don't feel bad, Jake. It's not that it's that you're not searching right, but we have the same issue, too. We really have to go into deep in the community, and I know around here, I don't know about you guys around, but we have to, like, talk to people and not just historians. Because sometimes your neighbor knows, you know, more information than a historian would.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One of our investigations, we had to go up to, like, the state library and go through the Michael Fish machines. And then we had neighbors come over and talk to us about the history or talk to the owner about the history of the location. Then she would convey that history to us. So,
You know, We have some recent cases that I've actually sent messages out to the Historical Society, and around here where we're so closed in over here on my when I sent out the message, they didn't quite know what I was talking about. I guess they assumed that I was wanting information on hauntings when it wasn't that. I needed information on the history of the land, and I'm like, no, we've got to go.
Yeah.
I'm bad at wording.
I've done the same thing. So, you know. So, Jake, what do your friends think about all this? Are they into it too, are you making friends because of this?
Because
of the paranormal.
Everyone is basically, except my brothers, are into it. My dad, he's been investigating for over 20 years, and he's helped me a lot. In fact, me and him he's shown me almost all I know.
Wow. That's awesome. That way when you have questions, you can go to him and say, hey, Pop, what do you think about this? Or you see a video on YouTube or something, you guys can, like, debunk it or whatever. That's really cool.
Let me just say this. I pride myself on analyzing videos, and I enjoy whenever I see a new paranormal video surface go viral. I love just looking at it and studying it in depth. And there's some I have been able to disprove, and then there's the select few that still stumble.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
There's just a select few. I agree, Jake, because even when people send me their own pictures, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I don't like analyzing them because I don't know what the surroundings were. I don't know the temperature. I don't know the weather that night.
It's hard when you're not there.
Obvious, some things.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard when you're not there. You mean, if you're not there, you don't experience, you don't know if there's someone in the background, you know, or if someone's, you don't know how many people are there. So if you see someone in the window, you don't know
exactly
if it's part of the person's team or what.
Yeah.
You know, evidence.
Yeah, I guess unless you are there, you will never know the truth. Unless
exactly
you're there.
No.
And there's no way you can step on somebody's evidence, because that is just a no-no. Everybody gets offended if you say it's matrix scene or that's not an orb, it's dust.
Ask you what you think about it, and you want to give them an honest answer, and you think it's bullshit, like BS, then, you know, let them down easy.
I tell people, I'm like, listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you, okay? And I'll just tell you what I think through, if it was my evidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not really into sugarcoating it. I give it the truth to the person in the nicest way possible.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like all those orbs you see, yeah, they're dirt ghosts.
No,
I don't know, Ryan. Yeah. I think there's some orbs.
Every single picture out there is, you know, dirt. You know, some if it is.
I'll grant you that most of them are dust or bugs or something like that. Because I took a photo at this haunted cemetery, and it looked like a good orb. And I zoomed in a bit. I was like, wait a minute, that's a bee.
Sometimes it is, but usually
you have
not
to know what to look for. People get excited. I think every group has got excited over something and debunked it. Like maybe not that same day, but the next day, and they feel like a complete butt. But that's part of learning.
What?
That's what we do, you know, especially in the beginning.
It's hard not to get excited when you get a piece of evidence. You're like, oh my god, I see something, and you convince yourself that this is what it is.
Right.
And it's really just a matrix thing or something like that. And someone points it out to you, and it's like, you know, someone taking the wool off your eyes, like, oh, damn. Right, okay. Well, that's what it is.
Yeah, the first time you see the orb or the figure or anything, your heart beats so fast. And you're like, oh,
yeah, it's adrenaline.
And then the next thing, you're like, wait a minute, that's dust. Wait a minute, that's a matrix thing. Wait a minute, that's the groundskeeper.
That's why
pictures and videos get me, like, and, you know, the EVPs, there you go. That's just the good stuff, because that's, like, undeniable evidence.
Yeah, I think EVP, you have all the spirit box, you have echo box apps, you have all these different tools that supposedly is the best way to get evidence, when I think straight up EVP, old school, is the best, because
it's breaking out from those older orders
like they used in the 70s and 80s. I love using stuff like that, because you know it's not edited. You know it was a fake, because you and everyone else was accounted for. They weren't making noises, or you were in a room by yourself, no one else was in the house, and you caught a voice. And it's like, that's not my voice. Whose voice is it?
Exactly. And let me tell you something, Jake, and I wanted to tell you this because that really just brought it up, but we had a meet and greet this weekend, and we got to meet a guy that's in a group around our area, and he had one of the old recorders, and it was his grandmother's, and she died when he was like 9. He's 29 now, but he had found it after she died and found this box full of recordings, right? And he had already been into the paranormal, but he didn't know it, and his mom didn't tell him. She said she didn't want to ag him on and get him interested in it. She didn't want him to go that route. But come to find out that his grandmother worked with Ed and Lorraine. And he was like, oh, my God, I didn't even know my grandmother. I was like, no, you didn't. I thought it was awesome. And he had the recorder with him, and I was like, that is pretty kick.
Oh, that is the coolest thing ever, because a few months ago I met Lorraine Warren.
See, I've been wanting to, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm so jealous, Jake.
Where did you meet them?
Oh, you have to go to Warrenology. Warrenology is completely 100% worth it.
Awesome.
I had the time of my life. Lorraine is the coolest person on earth, and her nephew, Tony Spera, he's awesome, and everyone else there is awesome.
That's great. See, I've
actually
like
got a question from Dennis, CPR Dennis, online for Dick, and he's wondering what's the strangest occurrence that's happened to him to date.
Let's see. Well, actually, there was a spirit box session that I did with some friends about a week ago, and I had the K2 meter. We were sitting on a dining room table, and I had a K2 meter facing me and another between me and one other person. We were sitting in chairs, and we were asking questions, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw the meter spike. And I was like, because usually my meter doesn't spike. I haven't seen it before. And so I put it in the middle of the table, and I was like, make it move. And on command, I can count at least 6 or 7 times on command, it lit up. And I had never seen anything like that before.
Wow. That is weird.
And then my most interesting experience in the field, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I posted photos on my page. I went to the Pocahontas Cemetery in Pocahontas, Virginia. And it's a place where 104 miners were buried from an 1884 mine disaster. And they were just buried in a large field, basically. And the marker, they were given one marker, and it's grown over now with the weeds. And I was there, and we heard voices and a bunch of other stuff. And when I got back in the car as we were leaving, I noticed a scratch on my left arm. And that was freaky.
Wow. So you didn't see anything? You notice anything in the graveyard? And when you left, you got a scratch in your arm? You were going through the woods or anything, and you might have gotten scratched by a tree or something?
Well, I went through that, and I was like, okay, we were in some weeds. Were they high enough to get my arm? And I was like, okay, I'll hold the recorder with my left hand, my spirit box with my right. So I was like, okay, that's about, that's close to neck level. So I'm like, no, it couldn't have been that. These things only came up to maybe my waist. So I was like, okay, well, that trees. Well, I wasn't in any trees. I had some experiences around the trees, but no trees. And so I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I scratched myself, didn't know it. I don't know.
Wow. Still, I mean,
yeah.
Pretty,
I mean, when you get in the car and you are fastening the seatbelt and you see a scratch mark, your heart pounds really fast.
Yeah, yeah. Were you by yourself or did you have someone with you?
I was with a family member, and we were there in the afternoon. It was no one else there.
No one else.
Hi, Jake. Like when you're in these places, do you get any feelings from them? Like any kind of reactions that you've noted over the years, physically?
Well, yes, I haven't had a lot, but I've had a few physical encounters, mainly in the form of touch. I was hit, or more like patted, one time. And I have experienced scratches about 3 or 4 times. But other than that, really no physical encounters. And usually whenever I do go to a location, I pick up on a few presences depending upon where we are. But sometimes I'll go to a location that's supposedly extremely haunted, and I'll never pick up anything. And then I'll go to a location
that
feels like I'm being approached.
Right. And I'm sure that, you know, that's exactly what's happening. The reason I was asking is because I have experiences as well, and one of the experiences, like physically what happens to me, my hands heat up. It's weird.
Your hands
cold, hot
what?
Hands over here.
Yep, my hands heat up when there's spirit near. So I have been called like a human ghost detector, kind of.
Wow. I mean, does it like, does it, like burn or just feel warm?
They get very, very hot, and we've actually got it on video before and watched film. They're actually doing it right now. I have no idea why. It usually happens when
you're
I
in the heating up right
get
now.
Around other people.
Wow.
It'd be cool if we could, if someone could get, like, a thermal imager and you hold your hands out on an investigation to see the heat change in your hands. That'd be kind of cool to see.
That would be great.
Well, that's actually a pretty good idea. You know, and then that way you have proof. Someone takes a picture of it, and you have proof. You can actually, you know, hey, this is really happening, you know?
Yeah. You just take video of it and say, okay, skeptics, here you go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A lot of people have different theories about it, too. For me, it just started happening last year because I really started getting in tune with everything. I started meditating and grounding myself, and I think it's great for anybody that has these abilities because, I mean, the first thing you want to do is ground yourself and get protected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, not to interrupt, but whenever I go on an investigation, see, I'm a Christian, and I usually do have a few protection things I do.
Yes. That's awesome. And, you know, I tell all my kids that we work with, put your bubble up. That's your shield.
What?
Or I don't know how you
use it.
I always tell them like you're in a hamster ball or something. Yeah. I'm actually Michelle's talking to me right now on the other side, and she says that you have a lot of spirits around you.
Really?
And this is coming from Michelle, and I'm telling you now, she's really legit. She works with us. I wouldn't say that if she wasn't.
I think I know her.
But,
I think I know all of her.
Yep.
Does she say what kind of spirits? Are they good spirits? Or are they bad spirits?
Actually, I can get her to see. I think she's listening right now, actually. We might get her to call in, actually.
Oh, that'd be great. I'd love to talk to her.
Well, you know, do you watch any of the TV shows that are on, you know, paranormal shows that are on now, like Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters, whatever?
I used to watch Ghost Hunters, and I used to watch Ghost Lab, and I did watch a little Ghost Adventures, and eventually they all got to the point where it just got a little silly for me, so I was like, no, not watching them.
Yeah, once you experience the stuff for yourself, and it's not a TV show, and you realize that it's real, you know, so the shows just kind of lose their luster a little bit, you know. Like, I'd watch Ghost Adventures, the first half of Ghost Adventures, because I like the way they do research in the history. So,
yeah,
like, the first half of the show.
But once Zach or Nick or Aaron starts doing battle, quote-unquote, I'm like, nope, not watching it.
Yeah, so you watch the first half hour of Ghost Adventures, and then, you know, cut it off.
Yeah. Oh, Holly, real quick, and Michelle was talking about she senses a lot of spirits. I did a spirit box session in my room one time, and I said, how many spirits are in this house? And a voice came over, it's all recorded, said, too many.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I don't know. That's probably why my hands are heating up so much. And it usually does when I talk to somebody on a level like this. And Michelle's actually on the line. She's calling in. So we get to talk to her, and she can really give you a lot more information. I love Michelle to death. We work very close together. And this will be interesting.
Yes, it will. This will be awesome.
Yeah, this is different. This is awesome.
I'll be getting back to the board here pretty soon. I went out to my car real quick to get something out of my car, so.
Okay, that's awesome.
For a second.
I'll hold down the fort.
Okay.
I reckon I can hold it down, me and Jake, can't we?
Yeah. Yep. No pressure, Holly.
No pressure at all. We just had butterflies
just
before this, right, Jake?
It's just your first show, no pressure at all.
No. Thank you, Jake. Thank you. Oh, you just made it. Oh, you just made all the pressure go away. I feel somewhere enlightened. This is cool, though. And you run the page you have a page, Virginia Paranormal Researcher?
Yes.
All right. That is awesome. And, like, who is some of your, some people that you look up to in the paranormal field?
Definitely I look up to my dad because he has helped me so much and he has taught me everything I know. And without him,
I love that answer.
Huh?
I love that answer because most people say somebody famous, you know? And
yeah.
I'm like this. And when I was on the show, I was like, I look up to everyday people. People for me. People
mm-hmm.
all over, you know? People every day.
Yep. And definitely, other than my dad, I'd have to honestly look up to Ed and Lorraine Warren because. Well, they weren't just regular investigators. They also came from a somewhat religious background. And so I could kind of
right.
relate to them in that way. And they just paved the way for modern-day
okay.
paranormal researchers.
I agree. And you know what? I don't know. We must be linked somehow because I have the same answers you have. But I think we have Michelle on the line.
Okay.
Hello?
Had to run.
Ah.
Hey,
Michelle. What's up?
Hi.
Hello.
So you was saying that you was sensing some spirits around Jake.
Yes. There's a lot of them. I was trying to, like, message you at the same time he was saying that there was a lot. I was like, yes, 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 yes. There is a boy in that's, oh, my goodness, from the 1800s. In his room, he's the one that throws the cars.
Hmm.
And there's a. There's so many there. Have you had the house blessed, Jake?
No. We have not.
Y'all have never blessed the house or, you know, had your preacher come in or anything and bless it?
No. And I don't, it's never gotten to the point to where we need someone to come by. There's been incidents where we think, like, okay, what should we do, what should we do? But nothing really, really bad has happened.
Is there a cemetery on that land or near you?
There's one about a mile down the road. There's two of them.
But that's why I said I was wanting to know if you knew the history of your land.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a lot of old history around here. We have a few abandoned buildings on the property. And not to finish, I haven't done any really too much research. Because I haven't been able to find anything other than what our landlord has told us.
Hmm. Wow.
That's Michelle's thinking.
Yeah, it is. My thing is because like I was listening to Jake talk about some of his experiences, and he talks about getting scratched in places. And do you experience a lot of shadow people?
Yes.
Is there anything you need to be worried about?
Well, I mean, I just feel like there's a shadow person attached to him. And I don't think that it's, like, feeding off of him, like, in a negative way. I think it's just attached
mm-hmm.
itself. And when he goes to places, because that shadow person is with him all the time, that other shadow people make themselves known to him. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but, I mean, I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
Like, I always feel like there's a shadow person with you. Like, you never feel like you're alone. Like, even if you're by yourself, you never feel alone. You always feel like something's
around
you.
Now, that is 100% true.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you also have
spirit.
Go ahead.
So he's got this shadow person attachment to him. So when he goes out, the other shadow people see him with the shadow person attachment,
yes.
and they think, oh, he's cool. He's one of
mm-hmm.
us, or he has one of us attached
yes.
to him. we can come out and, you know, make ourselves known to him.
Yes, and that's what's happening is, I don't know if he's not acknowledging that he's seeing the shadow people or what, but they feel like they get ignored. And I say this time and time and time and time and time again, that if spirit is ignored, they will make themselves known like a little kid. They will do something to make themselves
yep.
known. And I think they're coming right up to him, and that's where the stress are coming from.
Real quick, whenever I do see anything, whether it be a shadow person or anything like that, I usually do acknowledge, like, okay, who is that? Who did I just see? So I really never do, even if I doubt myself, did I see that? I still acknowledge it. Like,
mm-hmm.
what did I see? Who are you? Why are you here?
Wow. Well, thank you, Michelle, for coming on the show. And,
no, you're welcome.
And letting
yeah,
us know
so
what,
much,
what
you
saw. We appreciate it. And
well, you're welcome.
Well, we'll definitely.
And thank you know how to. Sorry.
Have a great night, Michelle.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Goodbye.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Well, that was interesting.
Well, we wasn't counting on that, was we?
Yeah. I mean, I'm in my room right now, and I'm, like, looking around like, Yeah, but
I remember you already knew that you had spirits in your house, so it's, you know, I mean, you pretty much already knew that from what, you know, from what you were telling us earlier, so.
Yeah. What's interesting is I know at least specifically of two main spirits in our house. One, strangely enough, is a little boy that hangs around. And believe it or not, he does not hang out much in my room. This may sound funny to some viewers, but the spirit that mainly haunts my room is a young teenage, about 14, 15, 16, teenage girl. And she loves pulling pranks. Yes. She loves pulling pranks.
So what kind of stuff, how do you know it's a 14-year-old girl that's gone in your room?
Well, first, sometimes through Spirit Box, like I do have a lot of clips of her actually saying, it's me and I do have a clip one time. I said, who is the spirit that's in my room all the time? And a female voice camera said, that's me. And I had one of the first experiences I had with what I like to call the jokester is I have a prized Aaron Rodgers rookie card that I got from a 2006 factory football set, and I had it in a completely safe place. No one in my house knew where it was, and I was bragging on it to a family member. I went to go show them, and it was gone. And so I was like, okay, maybe one of my brothers found out where it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked them, and they said no. So I looked everywhere in the house for it, top to bottom. I completely turned this place upside down. And we found it 6 months later under some heavy boxes that had not been touched since moving day.
Oh, wow.
And it was in the boxes?
It was under the boxes that hadn't been touched since moving day.
You know, I've heard of stuff like that before from other clients that we've had. And I remember one told us they could not find, I actually don't remember what the item was, but they had found it under a mattress in their bedroom. And I was like, oh, okay. It was like in between the mattress and the box spring. So, yeah.
We have found so many strange items. We have found so many of our household items in strange places. In fact, one happened yesterday. We found some strange items. The one that usually disappears is I call it the haunted canola phenomenon. And it's whenever my mom or dad goes out to the store and gets canola oil, it disappears. And it always does. And the first few times we found it in a closet in a bedroom, and the other few times we found it in the living room, we found it in just a few other places. And I know a lot of people, they're like, okay, maybe someone was sleepwalking and they took it. It's like, who would take canola oil to the closet and hide it behind some toys just for the joke of it?
But sleepwalkers have done some crazy things. So, I mean, that's, you can't totally discount that, but it does, it's really kind of out there. You know,
yeah.
We've had, at one of the locations we go to, the lady who lives there now had some painters doing some work upstairs in one of the bedrooms, and the guy came downstairs and was like, you know, this house has got some stuff in it. And he's had his hair played with, and he said he left some paint cans in a certain room. He came back upstairs, and they were in a different room, you know? So, yeah,
uh-huh.
I mean, definitely some spirits like to mess around with us, you know, like to play pranks. Nothing
yeah.
malevolent or anything like that, just, you know, like to have fun, you know.
Yeah, and
let us know they're there.
And a lot of my friends, they are somewhat into it, but not too much into it. And they're like, "So Jake, what happened? What happened now at your house?" And I've had some friends come over on sleepovers, and they're like, "Oh, I don't think your house is that haunted." And they've had some experiences they will never forget.
Wow.
Oh wow.
Your house must be really, really popular.
That's
some experience
go to Jake's.
Well, a lot of people, whenever I tell these stories, or any of us tell these stories, it paints a picture that, oh, crap, Amityville, stuff like that, stuff
mm-hmm.
happens every
yeah.
day. Well, no, it's usually, it comes in spurts. It doesn't happen
yeah.
every day. It'll go a week or a few days where a lot of stuff will happen, and then it'll go quiet for a while.
Well, that's the thing. You can't make them do stuff. You know, you can't, like, they don't want
oh,
to
yeah.
do something off of a hat. You know, scare me. They have minds of their own. They you know, they'll do it when they
yeah,
want.
Yeah, they
to.
Were people once.
Yeah.
And I think it's good because a lot of people, they go in and they try to talk to spirits almost like they're little kids, or they talk to them, they provoke them. And I'm not saying provocation is terrible, but a lot of people take it overboard. But I always thought
yeah.
of speaking to a spirit as a regular human being, as I would talk to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I've noticed a lot. Sometimes people talk to ghosts or spirits like, you know, talking to a three-year-old, you know, and it's almost insulting. I think it's almost insulting, you know. And
yeah.
unless you're talking to a three-year-old ghost, you know, I mean.
And the provoking.
Provoking usually leads to bad things.
Yeah.
You're asking for something to happen, not
oh,
so
yeah.
well, you know. That's something, that's one of our rules, you know. But
yeah.
that's why I'm very, very on edge if we're investigating with someone new or have someone tagging along. You know, it's something I stress to them. You know, we don't do that. We don't go there. We will be like, you know, as long as the investigation is going well, we know what we're dealing with, we've got Michelle in there, we're all in tune, we know what's going on, and we're like, you know, well, I guess you're not going to do anything for us, you know, and then other people get a little more intense, and that's not what you want.
Yeah, like a lot of people who they watch shows like Ghost Adventures or Ghost Lab, and they'll go in and they'll be like, show yourself now, I command you to, and that kind of stuff, and it's like, first off, the ghost is thinking, dude, what is your problem? And second off,
well, just for TV,
they'll be like,
though.
Okay,
I mean, they want to get results on television. You know, I mean, that's they want ratings, so that's why they you know, make themselves look all big and bad, you know. And they almost
yeah.
play characters on television, you know.
And then when you do provoke a spirit, it's like, okay, I'll do something that'll make you know I'm here. And it may possess you, it may hurt you, or it may hurt someone else. You never know what it will do.
Yeah, I mean, if you go into, like, a prison and you start provoking, you can pretty much assume that bad stuff is going to happen, you know?
Yes.
I mean,
especially with all that tension and negative energy that's already there because it's a prison. Uh-huh. And provoking it is almost like opening the door and giving it a red carpet to walk on.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Say, come on in. Yeah. Why don't you attach yourself to me while you're at it? Okay, come on. Let me take you home with me. Yeah, not good.
Like, I was watching, one of the things I love to do is I love going on YouTube and watch these ghost hunting teams post their videos. And there are these people, they were investigating, they said, we want to feel you now. And so I'm like, dude, that's just asking for possession.
You know,
I want to feel you now.
Really,
I want to say that during investigation.
people are not educated before they go out and do this. They think it's all, oh, they watch TV and guess what, I'm a ghost hunter the next day. It's not like that. You really have to be educated. And like you, Jake, I mean, you've got family that's into the paranormal. Your dad's been investigating for over 20 years. So there you go. You have somebody to teach you and for a 14-year-old, very mature guy, I'll tell you that.
Thank you.
But even with app like Ghost Adventures, they'll come on afterwards, and they'll like after the show be like, yeah, we were at Bobby Mackey's, and the spirits followed us home, and, you know, we were messed up for weeks after our investigations, you know? And they have the same Ghost Adventures aftershocks, and they'll talk to the people through the interview and, you know, during their shows. And people say, yeah, once you guys left, stuff got really bad, you know, and stuff followed them home. So it's not like, you know, they stop filming and everything's hunky-dory, you know.
Yeah.
They get stuff attached to them and attack them even off the air.
Yeah, and that's one thing that a lot of people don't understand. A lot of people think, okay, we go to a location, we try to contact spirits, and then we leave the location and nothing will ever happen to us. And it's like, well, no. A spirit may not act at that moment. It may act sometime down the road.
Mm-hmm.
You just never know when it will do something. You just always have to somewhat be prepared. And that's when you get
spirit,
into a lot of, I have run into people, even though I've been seriously investigating for about 2 years, I've run into a lot of thrill seekers. They're like, oh, we want to see ghosts. And it's like, you do know there's a lot behind this that goes on.
Exactly.
And they're like, we just want to see ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I think...
Yeah, they think they're going to see an apparition on the first day, second day. Let me tell you what. I've only been investigating for 3 years, and I think our team has encountered an apparition once. And you know what? That's great. I mean, in 3 years, that's awesome, you know, if you see an apparition. Now, if you have abilities, you're going to, you know, you're going to have some kind of encounter like that. But for people that don't have abilities and out there to be like, you know, I want to play Scooby-Doo. I just want to cheat thrill. Good luck on that, buddy. There's a lot of work behind this.
I was going to say, after you answer the question, we're going to take our mid-show break here.
All right.
So. But go ahead and answer the question.
Okay. I couldn't hear. What was the question again?
From me?
From you.
Oh, I thought that was you there. I've been sitting here to you guys talk. as far as future-wise, like, where do you see yourself? Do you see you having your own?
Wow. Thanks so much for breaking up. Let me go ahead and take a break now, and we'll get stuff figured out. So we'll be back in a few minutes with Jake and Holly.
I'm on the train that's gonna see.
Orleans for the weekend, for vacation? Are you wanting to take a ghost hunting tour but tired of the same old walking tours where you don't even get to go into the location? And you're not even sure if the history is accurate? Well, call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. This team of guys are going to take you into a real haunted location where you're going to get to use the state-of-the-art equipment that ghost hunters use. Be the paranormal investigator. You get to work with an experienced, competent team of investigators and have the real, true paranormal experience. Experience the dark side of New Orleans. Call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. They have tours Friday through Monday. Tours start at 7 and at 10 p.m. For more information, call 504-708-3567.
Hey, folks, bear with us just a moment. We're having some technical difficulties here. I'm not sure what's going on with the board. I've still got everybody attached. Jake, can you hear me, sir?
Yes.
All right, Holly,
can you guys
still
hear
got
me?
You with me. Still got you. Ryan,
can you hear me?
Still got you. Ryan. And we may have lost Ryan. But at this point, I'll sit in until he can either call in and get back connected. One thing that I'm going to do, and you guys may think this is strange, but it's very common for us to have spirit screw with our connection.
I was thinking the same thing.
Well, I run Full Spectrum Radio on Wednesday nights. Matt and I had two ladies on with us one night, and we had run into archive. We spent 30 minutes we muted everybody and could still hear our guests called out, the names called out. It was the strangest damn thing, but apparently Ryan has dropped, so I'm waiting on him. I've got it on continue. Holly, have I still got you?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Jake, still got you?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to have, I've got Ryan holding. Well, actually, I'm having him call back in now. Ryan actually launched this thing. I had to save it because his connection went to crap. So, let's see if we can get it all back
together.
Thank
you, Dennis. I'm sitting here with a... Y'all going to think I'm crazy. No, you ain't going to think I'm crazy. I'm sitting here with a digital term held in my hand because I'm on fire, guys.
We can hear you. Ryan, can you call back in from the landline? I know you like to wander around the parking lot and everything there at the Fast Studios, but if you can call in on a landline, that would be great because I think your cell has dropped a bar.
You think so? All right.
Well, I'll tell you what, it just cleared up. So I'm going to do something, and y'all can think I'm as crazy as you want. Spirit, if you're interfering with the signals right now, I need you to back off. You need to let this show progress. You need to let us talk. You're not invited into this. This is not your realm. Are you with us, Ryan?
That works. I'm here.
There we go. All right.
Yeah, definitely. I'm in.
We've been having problems. We had problems with Holly. The last 2 weeks, Holly dropped off.
Not being me, guys.
I felt left out. I dropped off, too. You know, I didn't want Holly to have
it. Well, like I said, we had 30 minutes of conversation that Matt and I were both on the board. We're both looking at it. Everybody was muted. both of our guests were muted. Ryan or Matt and I were both muted, and we could still hear voices, and they were calling out our guests' names. This is Internet, IP.
Wow.
You're not getting FM interference.
That's freaky.
You know, on our last show, I had some of the same feelings, so I don't know. Maybe look further into that.
The last show, we had a hard time getting you guys on the show. We had a hard time beginning the show. I had a hard time hearing you. But then you guys came on. So.
Ryan, are you on a headset?
No.
No?
No, I'm not on a headset.
Oh, I was really hoping you would say yes. Because you're extremely staticky, brother. I don't know if
you moved
to a different part of the studio, but, yeah. See if you can hit a better connection for us. I'll tell you what, I will try to call you from the studio board. How's that?
Okay. On my cell phone or?
Right.
What?
From the 347 number that I have on the board.
Okay. Well, if I hang up, will that mess up the show? Because I'm the only one who started the show. It's not going to mess it up.
It doesn't matter. Right. Since I've got control of the board, I can select to stay intact.
Okay. I'm just making sure. I don't want to cut everybody off by hanging up. All right, let me.
No, you're fine.
I'll go ahead and do that. All right, talk to you guys in a few.
All right.
Bye.
All right, thank you, brother. All right, Holly, I'm going to go ahead and mute myself. You and Dick,
okay.
Go ahead and chat, and I will be right back with Ryan as quick as I can.
All right,
okay, Darwin.
All right, well, never mind. It took that option away from me. I have to have him call me back.
Okay.
So I'll bring him on my line. You two go ahead.
Okay, thank you, darling. See what, Jake? It's our luck, right?
Yes. Complete crazy.
Maybe, like, your energy and my energy is just too much to handle for for this.
Who knows?
I know, right? I'm sitting over here, like, I hope nobody's peeking through my windows because I got a digital thermometer held in my hand. And I'm like, oh, boy, because, like, ever since we got on the phone with you, my hands have been heating up like crazy. And
wow.
I don't know. It's one of them, you know, we're searching for answers, right? Maybe we'll find them.
Maybe they don't want
so,
Ryan to speak. Maybe they just bumped him off.
True. I know. Maybe they just want me and you to have our alone time, right?
Yep.
So, I wanted to know, like, you said you really look up to your dad and everything, and before break, we were talking about the Warrens and you meeting Lorraine and everything. So, for the future, do you see yourself having your own group?
Well, in the future, I do see myself definitely teaming up with people. As to what I'm completely going to do, I haven't 100% made up my mind. I always wanted to help people, whether it be teens, old people, young kids, anyone who has paranormal problems. I just want to help them out, make them understand that, first off, something is going on, they're not crazy, and second off, what to do. And I've even thought about the TV route, and I'm just not 100% made up my mind on anything. But more importantly, I do want to help people.
Well, see, that's what it's all about. And I think we got Ryan back with us. Ryan, are you there?
Well, I sure hope so.
Can
you guys
so
hear
better.
Me? Like, huh?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right. Is it like all static and stuff?
Nope, it's fine.
Yeah, you sound a lot better.
Oh, good. So what exciting stuff did I miss?
A lot. I'm telling you, me and Jake really connected, and we was like, well, these spirits don't want Ryan to be around us.
We don't need you.
Jake, have you ever thought about traveling to Richmond and teaming up with the All-Seeing Paranormal or CPR?
Well, I've thought about, definitely I have thought about teaming up with different groups. I'm in contact with so many groups, and
mm-hmm.
I don't really
yeah.
see myself fitting with one group unless it was with my own. Because
right.
I do like having the experience of seeing how different people do things, and you could go to one location with one group, and you would see a shadow person and hear a voice. You would go with another group, and you would hear knocks. You would go with another group, and nothing might happen. You just, every time you
exactly.
go with someone, different people, even with the same people, it will be a different experience.
And, you know, you guys were talking earlier about
different people as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These spirits also, they have this sense of how people are overall. Like, if not necessarily they're bad people, but just what their intentions are. Spirits will almost, like, play with some, you know, they'll really act up for some teams and other teams might not. And that's interesting, too. Now, like, as far as me, are you talking about going to other groups and everything? That's something that I have to do now back with us, and I think that's great. Like, I'm totally for community and learning experience. You're definitely getting what you need out of them experiences, and you're what I call a seeker by the rest of us.
Yep. But I've had... And there's been a lot of people, definitely, that have, mainly teens, have come to me, like, Jake, how do you get started in this? I'm like, well,
I
to get started, first off,
yeah.
you have to know what you're getting into. It's not
you know,
just you get a recorder, a video camera, and go to a place and ask questions.
Yeah,
you do have to know, yeah, you have to know what to expect, what could happen, and... Just different knowledge. Any knowledge is good knowledge.
Yeah. It's always good to not have, like, a history of a location. So if there's
yeah.
a spirit that might be malevolent and might could do you harm, you know about it ahead of time. You don't go in there asking questions that could get you hurt. You know?
Yeah. And also not just the location, but also the people that you're with.
Yeah.
Because even people, they can have sort of like a history with paranormal experiences.
Yeah. And also make sure the location is, you know, you can actually go on the location. And I always ask for permission before you go on a location to do, you know, investigating.
Yeah. Yep.
Because a lot of people...
I don't know. I'd love to see all of us together, to be honest with you, because if we are making the stuff go off here and kicking people off of the chat board, I'm just curious to see what would happen with all of us together.
Well, I know, exactly. I mean, something's going on with the show tonight. It's kind of so. I've never had problems on the show. I've been doing it for almost five months. Now, 5-6 months, I've never had problems with
that's what me and Jake was talking about. And I was like, as soon as you come on the show, my hands started heating up. I was like, oh, my. And then, you know, me and Dennis was talking on the side, and he's like, you know, I know what you're going through.
Well, that's...
So it's interesting.
Well,
it makes you know, who would have thought?
That's for sure. Yeah, it makes for an interesting show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then when you think about it, radio brings all this energy, extra energy,
that's
and so
exactly
like,
right.
Whoa.
Maybe
we just got a lot of energy,
Jake,
okay?
Don't want us talking about it.
Yes.
They don't want to be famous. They just want to. So you live out, so what part of Virginia are you from? You're in Augusta County?
Yes, I'm not from Augusta County. I currently live in Augusta County.
I'm originally
from Mercer County, West Virginia.
Okay. Where you are now is Augusta County.
Yes.
Correct? And what is that
correct.
Near? What city is that near?
Stanton, Virginia is the closest.
Oh, okay. So you're not that far from from where I am, from Richmond. I used to drive through Stanton. I used to have a date a girl. He went to Mary Baldwin College. So, yeah, and I know all about that. About that location.
Stanton's got more paranormal history than I thought it did when I moved down here.
Isn't that where the Desjardins Institute is?
Yep. The Desjardins Institute, the original Western state, is. And I'll be honest, I didn't know about most of these locations. I knew about Desjardins, but I didn't know about most of them until I started taking the Ghost of Stanton walking tours. And I was like, holy
crap,
there's a lot
of stuff I do enjoy
know.
Going on those tours. I went to the one in Lexington. I do enjoy going on those walking tours. Those haunted. Yeah, I went to the one in Lexington. That was really neat.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been on any. I was thinking about going on the Lexington one. I think that'd be fun sometime, but I enjoy these Stanton tours. It's run by awesome people. Marty Seibel is ahead of it. They are just awesome people down there.
You know, I was talking to Ryan, and I was like, you guys got each other all around each other. Like, y'all have tons of people out there. And, like, we're over here in the butthole of Virginia. And, I mean, we are finding people. You get people and just really out to other groups and try to really unite. So it's kind of like I'm not a skip and a hop away.
So but you're making quite an issue yourself down that area, though. You mean you're doing your meet and greets and stuff down there. So
we really have, and it's all about. Yeah, we're going to be doing ghost tours in October, so that's going to be fun.
I like
to talk, so obviously.
You should do well on those tours.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we did ghost tours last year, and it was our first one ever. And for this part of Virginia, we are breaking down some barriers here, people. And I'm like, yeah, it's exciting for me. We work with a lot of families, too. You know, people with kids like Jake, and I think a bunch of them are listening to us, and, you know, having somebody like you come on, Jake, it's great. Like I said before, somebody that's very open about it, and I can see great things for you in the future, for sure.
Thank you. I enjoy talking to teens who are like, Jake, I've been having these experiences, and I'm not sure what to do. And I just enjoy knowing that other teens are experiencing the same stuff and getting their perspective on it. And I just enjoy hearing more experiences. Anytime anyone ever has an experience, I enjoy listening to it. Even sometimes if it sounds completely wacko, I still enjoy it. It's always great to meet new people and to talk. I just, like you, Holly, I enjoy talking.
Yeah. See, that's all good. Let me tell you, talking can get you a lot of places. I mean, I can sit and talk to a wall. I have interesting conversations with my wall. And, yeah.
Those walls can talk.
Back sometimes. Yeah. Oh, man, if they could. Oh, boy, I'd be in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
So, are you,
so Jake, you were talking about your friends earlier.
Huh?
Sorry, go.
I was going to mention, since you're up in the woods, you're up in the country, I was going to ask if you have any interest in, like, Bigfoot or the Woodburger, you know.
Oh, I never did talk about that.
I have an uncle
who's actually had an encounter with him. He was driving a coal truck across a local mountain here, actually right behind my house, not too far from my house. He was driving a coal truck, and he went around one of these big, what we call horseshoe curves, and there was a Bigfoot on it. I don't know what else to call it. We don't call it wood booger here. A little bit over they do when it come out and they say wood booger. I was like, what is a wood booger? Anywho, yeah, he saw it. It was back in the 80s, and my uncle was a very reliable source. He scares me, so he's very, you know, he's always scared me as a child because he's one of those junkyard men, you know. It's like really scary. But there's been other people that have come out and said they've seen the same thing in the same location. We actually have a local group in the area that goes out and is connected with the BFRO, and they do investigations as well. And I know I've heard that Jake has an interest in Bigfoot hunting too.
Oh,
what's
yeah,
your story
Bigfoot
on Bigfoot,
and
Jake?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello? I'm not sure. Y'all got out of sync for a second.
Okay. So what happened?
Oh.
You said you got a Bigfoot story?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, actually, Bigfoot and paranormal and UFOs is something I've experienced a lot. One of the first and big experiences with Bigfoot for me is this is when I was really young. We lived up in the dense woods, and we used to have an old four-wheeler trail. And I heard our dogs. They just started going ballistic. And so I looked out the window, and I saw this really tall, what looked like a gorilla. And then I didn't know too much about Bigfoot. It just looked like a giant thing walking. And it was just walking up the path, and it looked back and looked up towards me. And I called for my brothers, and by the time they came, it had gone into some brush. And I know now that is a Bigfoot. And I'm like, holy crap, even when I was young, I was seeing this.
Wow.
And I've heard yells and screams. I've seen Bigfoot. I can count two or three times. I do have one recorded possible scream, possibly recorded. Don't have any photos,
wow,
though.
I've got a question for you, because this is something that, you know, everybody that I run into, we always really share ideas on. Do you think that Bigfoot is physical, spiritual? What's your view on him?
Well, there are different stories of Bigfoot and encounters that make me think, okay, I'll read one encounter. It's like, okay, that sounds like a creature. I'll read another one. It's like, wait a minute. This doesn't sound like a creature. This sounds more spiritual. And I'll read another one. It's like, okay, maybe interdimensional. Because there's even Bigfoot sightings in connection with UFO. And so I'm like, okay, maybe it could be like an alien being. But I have thought, and I always still think to this day, that Bigfoot is left over from the Ice Age period. You had the big Gigantopithecuses. They were 10 foot tall. And I'm thinking possibly it could be ancestors or cousins of it still around. Because the coelacanth was supposedly extinct for 362 million years, and then over in Africa, a fisherman caught one. And so, like, I hear a lot of people, they say, oh, dinosaurs aren't still around. It's like, no, I don't think the T-Rexes and stuff, but what about the pterodactyls, pterosaurs, and plesiosaurs? I can totally see them still being around. Like the Mekelia Membe story from Africa, I can see that still being around. And then over in Papua New Guinea, you have the Ropen. I can see that being around. Papua New Guinea is still basically unexplored. And call me crazy, but I could have sworn a few times that I have seen weird-looking creatures that resemble in somewhat pterosaurs flying around in Virginia. In fact, there was one experience I saw what looked like, and it was 20 feet above my head, what looked like a pterosaur. And I was like, okay, maybe I'm just seeing things. There was a lady in Richmond, believe it or not, the very next day, saw the same exact thing I did, detail for detail. And so I'm like, okay,
wow,
maybe there's something to this.
Well, there have been reports of Thunderbirds being seen in Virginia. giant birds being seen
in
Virginia or in Louisa County.
Yeah, Indians, they've been talking about stuff like that. You have the Dismal Swamp was supposedly started when a firebird fell out of the sky. And then you have the Snallygast, which is one most people don't know, but that's more of like a dragon type thing. And so you've got so many bird legends that sound like Thunderbird. And most people, they think Thunderbird is only in Texas, Oklahoma, and all that. It's like, no, there's usually a Bigfoot story, I mean a Thunderbird story in almost every state.
Popular as Bigfoot stories.
Yeah.
Everyone has a Bigfoot story, but a lot of people out there have a, right? Or like howler monkeys or wampus cats, you know, stuff like that. Each legend has a bit of truth to it.
Yeah, I agree. Every legend is based off some truth. Someone saw something that made them go out and create this legend.
Mm-hmm. So why do you think Bigfoots are so hard to find?
Well, when you listen to some of the Bigfoot reports, and then I've had some encounters, they do sound like stealth creatures. And a lot of people have made connections, possibly Neanderthal. And I'm like, well, it's possible that in order to avoid detection, these creatures just learn the art of stealth. And it's like out in the wild, you hear there's bears everywhere. There's tons of bears in West Virginia. I've never seen one in the wilds of West Virginia. I've seen one bear my entire life, and I hike all the time. And I think Bigfoot kind of works the same way. All animals use stealth to remain protected and hidden so that either they can avoid predators or they can get prey.
Do you think Bigfoot can use reasoning like a human can?
Now, say that again. I couldn't hear you.
You think Bigfoot uses reasoning? You think their brains are involved with humans? They can hide better. They can think more clear than animals can.
Yeah, because us humans, we're not in the woods every day, and in the woods, strange things happen. And well, over years, thousands of years, possibly a million of being around, you would think that their brain would grow somewhat more than we have.
I also wonder if there are like communities of Bigfoot or Bigfeet, like in the woods, if they have their own communities, do they all live by themselves? I mean, do they communicate with each other? Is there like a Bigfoot like kind of town, not really a town, but it's a community?
Yeah. Now, I'm not too sure. I think it is possible that they have isolated communities, and there are reports of Bigfoot families of a mother, a father, and kids hanging out in an area. And so I think it is possible, and we do know that they communicate in some way, whether it be wood knocks, rock knocks, or screams or yells, they do connect in some way. And I can't see them having, like, little isolated communities.
Well, I mean, they're good at hiding because, you know, they have these thermal imaging cameras and people are looking for them. They take the helicopters up and they look in the woods and see if they can see anything. Usually they don't just come up empty-handed.
Yeah. And there's a lot of ideas, not just for Bigfoot, but for UFOs, paranormal, and any cryptid. It's like, well, why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? And then you get out there and in the field, and it's like, you know, this may not have been the best idea.
Yeah, sometimes stuff looks great on paper. Then you get there, and you're like, oh, well, maybe this won't work because of this reason.
I mean, well, look at it. What would happen if they found one of these? We all know what would happen if they found one of these.
So, I mean, it would be, well, I guess it would be like, well, whoever finds the first one, that's great, but then it's like, will they that we know they exist. They would just be animals. They'd be studied.
Well, you know, we have all these people out here hunting them.
Yeah,
I mean, even, you know, if they do... Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, I think people would definitely go out and trap them, take them to, like, carnival shows and stuff like that. And I think...
Well, you know,
that's why I think
there have been people that...
I think it's better they left alone.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the Native American called Bigfoot the, what, was it the father of the woods, mother of the woods, female and male? And it was, he was talking about the different versions of Sasquatch and all these other animals. And if you go back to Native American beliefs, you can look and see. If you go to Japan, they've all got the same things. We're just calling them different things and giving them different appearances. I don't know. Like, I've always been, I'd like to think for myself that, yeah, Bigfoot's real. And for one of my own kin to come out and say that, you know, well, he's seen one, I know he's not a beaster, you know. I definitely believe in that. And there's been local events around here where people have really had interactions with them. And, you know, back in the days, like back when my papa was younger, they would have to walk to work to the mines. You were talking about some of these different creatures that you see, Jake. Have you ever thought they could possibly be elemental?
I have thought about that before, and I've never really come to a conclusion, but it has crossed my mind.
I mean, that's definitely, I've actually had experiences seeing an elemental, and I have no other words to say for it. I mean, you know, I know this had to be elemental because me and my boyfriend at the time was, he was bringing me home. And how funny was it? It was around Halloween. We went by these people's house, and they was just this big fog mist in the middle of the road. And it was almost like this dog face, huge dog face coming toward the car. Okay. It was not foggy outside, and these people didn't have no kind of projectors. I mean, I searched, you know, because, yeah, I believe in these things, but I'm still going at it at a skeptical view. I'm like, hey, where's the projector? No, there's no way. So it took me a few seconds afterwards, and I looked over, and I was like, did you see that? He's like, yeah. So, okay, I wasn't the only one to see it, but it took us a few seconds to register in our minds, you know?
Yeah.
And then I've seen these little elemental creatures, I call them, when I'm having my out-of-body experiences. It's weird.
It's just good. It's good. There's kind of look strange, like... strange stuff in this world. You know,
they are. I mean, the things that I've seen, I'm like, I'm a sane person, you know. I've met some not-so-sane people, you know. doing what we do, we meet them. But they are. There's things out there that can't be explained. People think they know, but they have no idea. There's a lot more out there. We're just little ants in
what
that
are your thoughts
phrase.
Making evidence. Like, a lot of people say Bigfoot has a lot of people make evidence. What are your thoughts on people? How do you think that affects the rest of us?
But, I can't really hear you. You're breaking up.
So,
yeah,
what are your thoughts?
We'll listen to you again, Ron.
What are your thoughts on people faking evidence, like, and how that affects
faking evidence,
paranormal research in general?
I think I don't like it. I really don't like it because it ruins credibility for everyone else. And I think of them as attention getters. They just want attention. Either because they're not happy with the results or they're not getting results. So they make their own results. And they just ruin credibility for pretty much everyone else. It's like every single ghost video on YouTube, someone someday, when YouTube started, said, I'm going to fake a ghost video and get popular on YouTube. And so they posted it. and then someone found out it was fake. It's like, well, that just ruined every single video anyone is going to post on this subject from now until eternity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we've had that happen to us before. We have our baby, the wife, and it's a big, huge hotel that they're renovated now, but we went in before they started the renovation. And so these workers there decided they was going to send their boss these pictures of these apparitions in the stairs. And they knew their boss's wife had a connection to us, and she's like, I got to show you these pictures. So we look at them, and at first on the phone, we're like, holy shit. Because it really did, from a phone, looking at a little image, it did look like an apparition. We put them up on the computer, and hell, yeah, no, it wasn't. It was people trying to, I guess, pull one on us. But if you're any kind of investigator, it's going to be kind of hard because we know. I mean, what are the chances you're going to get a picture of a full apparition?
Yeah, it's rare.
That's very good. Yeah. And plus, thing I know we scrutinize. You know, Jake and all, we scrutinize the evidence. We go through it, and we get people to come and other people to look at our evidence and say, hey, what do you think about this? Before we even put it out there. So, I mean, any good paranormal investigator will put the evidence through the ringer, so to speak.
Yep. Anytime you get evidence, you have to put it to every test.
Oh, yeah. Because you don't want to put something out there and say, look what we caught, and then someone points out something that's so obvious that you totally debunks everything that you thought you saw. You know.
Yeah.
So we need to make, and plus, since we had the burden of proof on us, you know, we have to really make sure that we go through every single avenue and try to figure out if this is really what we think it is. You know.
Hi, Jake. Michelle wanted me to be sure to tell you before I debate on us, but she wanted me to be sure to tell you that she didn't feel like there's nothing malicious. Of course, you feel that too, and she definitely feels if there's like a few spirit guides around you, and that could be account for some of the shadows that you're seeing.
Okay. Tell her I said thank you for the information.
Definitely. And, and I think it's funny, I have to tell you guys this because, you know, we're having all this energy going on over here on connections and everything, and Dennis just messaged me and asked me if I had someone die that like was like a father figure to me named John. And you know what's funny? My spirit guide's name is John, and he stays with me all the time. And he actually helps us on investigations as well.
Oh, wow.
He does. He interacts with, he'll interact with Michelle, and he'll interact with Dallas, too.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool. That is wild.
It is wild, and you know what? Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want to hear what you got to say.
I was just going to say is, you know, for me, I started really awakening last year. Michelle really started with me, and I started meditating and opening up more. So it was all new to me. And I was like, okay, part of these abilities is not doubting yourself. So remember that, Jake, don't doubt yourself, which I'm sure you have some people around you telling not to doubt yourself or second-guess yourself, but we all do anyway. I decided, I'm going to see if I can figure out. I knew there was a male around me. We was working with a medium. They told me there was a male around me, and they felt like he was protective of me, like he was my spirit guide. So I was like, okay, I'm going to lay down, and I'm going to try to figure out what his name is, you know, because this is my first time trying to do this, and I felt like a big idiot. I kind of felt like a psych patient, you know. I was like, Lord, like, I'm not telling nobody about this. So I'm laying in bed, I go into a meditation state, and, you know, I just, out of my mind, said, you know, can you tell me your name, right? So I get the name John, and I'm thinking, okay, whatever, I'll remember it, but whatever, I'm crazy. So Dallas, that's on our team reading the next day, and I shit you not, he said, I feel like the guy that is around you, his name's John, and that's the name that I got. And I was like, oh, stop doubting yourself. So, yeah, definitely. And then you got Dennis over here picking up on him. And, Dennis, what is so funny is I know you're listening. We work with a very, very gifted little 13-year-old girl named Emily, and I hope she's listening. She's very gifted, and at our last meet and greet we had locally, she picked up on John. And she kept saying that he said, this is my favorite shirt. So, I don't know. John's there, definitely, for sure, and he's around all the time.
Wow.
Wow.
Now, that's cool when you do get verification from more than one other person.
It
yeah,
is. I got verification from four people now, so.
Wow.
And if I stopped myself, you know, we'd be a lot better off. Now, Jake, I got a question for you because I know I'm curious. Now, when I'm in the field, my abilities really are not in full. They're not really active. I do pick up on, like, I know when a spirit's near, my hands start heating up. But as far as getting information, it really has to come through to me, like, speak directly to me, you know.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, like, on some of these cases, have you had any where you just go in and know?
Well, no, not really. The more of my abilities is I'm able to actually feel and sometimes see. Like, I can go into a place and be like, there's someone right there. But that's rare. But I pretty much just for me, it's I can feel them.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm also audio clairant, too. See, I can pick up, I know this sounds so goofy, but I pick up radiations. If I'm here at the house by myself and I've got a pair of headphones on and I have no music going, I'll start picking up radio stations and not even realize it, and I can hear the music start playing. And I'll go through my searching for this music, and I've heard people talk before too, so I definitely can relate to you on that one. And I don't know if you do it or not or practice meditation, but I think it's a good idea for you.
I've thought about it, and I'll be honest, I have tried it once, and I just didn't get into the habit of doing it.
Have you tried, a guided meditation?
No.
I can send you some links after this. It's really helpful. I started out with guided meditations, and I really opened up after that. If that's something that you really, because I mean, I know that you are already, so into the paranormal, and, like I told you, I see you doing some awesome work in the future, and, of course, I know we've all got to get together now because this is crazy what's been going on tonight.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've never had anything like this happen on the show, I swear.
And it's my first day as a host, right? Oh, man.
Okay, bring on the show, Holly.
Set the bar pretty high for every other show that you'll ever host.
I agree, Jake. I mean, if nobody's listening live right now, they better tune in later because this is a show they don't want to miss, right?
Oh, heck yeah. And I don't know. I think I'm just hearing things, but the last time a lot of static came through, I thought I heard a male voice, and I thought it was Ryan. Or Dennis, I was like, wait a minute. I heard like a small little male voice.
Wow.
Really?
Could you understand what it was saying?
No, it was just a voice.
Wow.
Well, I assure you
that
it wasn't me. I've kept myself muted off the board all night, except for when Ryan drops. But I have been muted.
Wow.
Well,
I
your
consider
voice
hearing
heard.
Scream. I can sit over here and scream as though I was on fire, and you'd never hear me. I will give you a for instance. Like I said earlier, we had two young ladies on with us one night on Full Spectrum. Now, keep in mind, the microphone on your telephone is the same exact microphone they put in voice recorders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
So if I've got John over here over my shoulder, like everybody's picking him up, I mean, he's always like, I'm here, Holly, and I'm over here. I'm on fire.
We've got John on the air with us now.
Yeah.
Yeah, by all means.
You don't just have me, okay? Right. You see, it's just not me. It's John, too.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to try to talk to John, and in a little while, I want you to tell me where you get hit, because I'm going to tell him to hit you in one specific point, and I want to see if I made a connection with him.
Well,
I will message Ryan where I want John to hit you, and I'm going to ask John to hit you in that specific point. But
okay.
I'm going to mute myself.
He might not do it, but he's very protective of me. We'll see. Well,
this is going to be interesting.
I can't wait to see what
was that
happened.
A left arm?
I don't know. I'm just waiting for all of us to hear a sign of some boom.
You're like an evil laugh.
I feel a left. Hey, John's not evil. He's like very, very gentleman-like.
Well, he might want to mess with us. You never know. He just have a sense of humor.
Well, I hope so, because he's around me all the time, and I'm bad. I'm very, yeah. He has to put up with me.
I feel sorry for him.
But, you know, while we're waiting on John to do his thing, you know, I know there's probably people listening and wondering about spirit guides, and some people, for us, I know for me personally, I call it a spirit guide. Some people know them as guardian angels, whatever you want to be them as, but they're there. They're actually what they are said to be, a spirit guide. They really guide you. They're there to listen, and, you know, it's not something made up. It's very real. I mean, what you're hearing tonight is very much real.
Yeah, we're not.
I'm not feeling anything. I feel very cold right now. I'm really, like, cooled down. But earlier I felt like, I don't know if it's the way I was home from, but I did feel something on my left arm. Like,
yeah, you said you felt something on your left arm?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, Dennis said he said he was asking John to hit your right hip, so maybe there was something like lost in translation there. He got left arm.
It could be the way I was just holding my arm. But John, I'm telling you, he's gentleman-like, so.
Well, I mean, I don't think he really wants you to hit more, but maybe tap or something. Tap you. Nothing painful.
Honey, when you tap these hips, they ain't, you better watch out.
Good Lord.
And they're loving the conversation.
Yeah, this is like kind of like we're having like a conversation to ourselves. It's just almost forget they're actually all the air people are actually listening to us. Very interesting stuff. Jake, I've got a quick question before we have to start ending the show. How would you like to get more people your age involved in the paranormal?
Well, definitely if someone has an interest for it, I want to help them. Usually I just say, all right, just go do basic research. The way I started was, what is a ghost? And then I started doing, like, shadow people, residual haunts, intelligent haunts. And then from there you start looking at locations, location history, location haunted history, and then you start learning different tools, what tools you need, what tools you don't need, how these tools work, and there's just a whole laundry list of things that you begin with, or at least that I began with when I started my paranormal journey.
Are you still, like, starting a group with your dad when you get older?
I've thought about it, and like I told Holly earlier, I'm not 100% sure what I'm going to do with my future, but I definitely do know that my future will include helping people. So that's just what I want to do. I just want to help people that are having problems or they just don't like it. And I'm like, well,
you know,
I want
Jake,
to...
That's what it's about, and that's why we do what we do. And I have no doubt that you're going to make a kick-ass investigator. And, oh, you're very welcome. And we're all going to have to team up with you for sure. I mean, it would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to meet up
who
and
knows
hang
what
out.
Who knows what would come through?
Oh, my goodness.
I know, right? Get Dennis and Ryan, all of us together. I mean, we're going to bring down the house.
Wow. Yeah, well, yeah. Just even sitting around like a fire, shooting and talking and talking to the wall and stuff outside. That'd be awesome.
We're losing Ryan again. They don't like you, Ryan.
I guess not. Yeah,
What scares me, Holly, is you say we're going to bring down the house. We're already bringing down the damn network with the energy. I really don't want to be in a house with y'all.
Oh. That's very true, Dennis. I mean,
yeah,
we had
here,
to film
I'm
it at least,
here in
right?
a room where I'm telling you the scratches and stuff happened here by myself, the door shut. I'm like, I don't know if I'm fine in here.
Now, I will tell you.
You're good.
Do you remember when I did the remote on you a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, I do.
Was I pretty damn accurate?
Now, what? Say that again?
Was I pretty damn accurate?
You were close. Kind of close.
Well, you don't have anything there to be afraid of, I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
there's nothing around you that I get that is malignant, malicious, or otherwise harmful. So don't sweat it.
Yeah, I usually don't. But there is the occasional something will come in and I was like, hey, what is this? That's like, uh-oh. But we haven't. It's a happy home with nice, with good spirits, knock on wood. But, no, when it comes time to actually start dialing a priest's number, that's when I might get a little worried.
You know, this is the thing, too, is what people don't realize is with your spirit guides. You have, I know Michelle was talking, and you know, Dennis, of course, you have two people that's very in tune telling you you have nothing to worry about, but, you know, your spirit guides, that's what they're there for, too.
Yep.
Or, listen to that. I'm telling you, Dennis.
I know. It sounds like wind or something.
It does. And you know what? I'm, like, shut up in a room all by myself, and it's weird.
I don't hear anything.
Is it just me? Dennis, you know what? Oh, my God. That's almost – do you hear that voice?
Yeah, and I heard a little voice in there. Like,
no,
I
yeah, me too.
Saying, but I thought I heard like a little voice in there. We'll have to go back
oh,
and listen
yeah,
to
Oh,
yeah,
definitely,
it.
Definitely.
I saw this on Ghost Lab, but marked time.
Oh, Ryan said that was him. Man, you got our hopes up,
oh, Ryan.
Ryan, you
really
Jake, can you tell everybody about on Facebook so they can go visit it and, you know, if they message you personally or message you through that page?
Yeah, just if you want to contact me, just virginiaparanormalresearcher.com. I mean, facebook.com/virginiaparanormalresearcher and just send me a message.
And we're
happy
you know,
to talk to
we'll put a link on our page.
Mm-hmm.
And I still say we need to get together and bring the house down, Dennis.
I don't know. That might be paranormal overload.
I know. Who would have ever thought, right?
Yeah.
Well, There's Ron.
Hey, am I back?
Charlie.
It yeah. sounds like he's gasping for air.
Our spirits don't want you to talk, Ron.
Yes, I guess you have to show. I just want to say,
but,
thank you.
I cannot hear you, Ron, but I'm sure you're saying this right here, that we are going to wrap up the show, and we've really enjoyed having Nick on, and, I mean, this is really a cool night. We enjoyed having you on and talking to you, and I know I'm getting messages back in the background over here and comments of people that said this was a kick-ass show, and they've learned a lot that they didn't know. So, definitely.
Well, that is
definitely
too cool, and it is an honor to be on this show. And Holly, I know this was your first show, and you did an awesome job. And this is just an awesome
hugs.
Night.
I've got to give hugs to the phone. I hug everybody. Thank you, Jake. And I really, like, we need to meet up. Seriously, I love to meet everybody and love meeting new people. And I just, like, look forward to this journey, I guess you could call it. It's my first time doing something like this, and I really, really enjoy it. So I have to say a big thanks to everybody who was like, you know, want me to come on the show. And it's definitely changing things for me and changing things for other people because I like to talk and spread my knowledge. No, I'm joking. But no, definitely, Jake, you're an awesome kid, and I think a lot of people is going to learn from you. And, like, tell your parents they're kick-ass and hugs from me because every child needs a parent backing them up.
All right, I will.
And
thank
Ron.
You. Thank you so much, Holly.
And Ron wants hugs, too.
I will.
All right, thanks a lot, Jake, for coming on the show. I really appreciate you coming on.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
All right,
bye, Jake.
Take care.
All right, see y'all.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow. That was interesting.
And Ryan, it's you and I only, and I can just barely hear you. Since we can just barely hear you, do you want me to just go ahead and pick a song to play you out?
Yeah. Pick a song, whatever. Do the Tears for Fears song.
Do what?
Yeah. Tears for Fears.
I can't hear you, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for joining Freaking Awesome Supernatural Talk. I'm not sure what the hell is going on with Ryan Stone. We can't hardly hear him. Just out of nowhere, everything is pretty bad. But because it does seem rather crazy tonight, thank you for joining Freaking Awesome Supernatural Talk. I'm Dennis, just hanging out. You've been listening to Ryan. We had Jake Fife on with us. There was Holly Mullins in there also. So thank you. Look for us next Monday on Freaking Awesome Supernatural Talk. Thanks.